what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you.
So, what does a church, a local church, need to be healthy and fruitful? What do we at St. John's need to know Jesus better and to make Jesus better known? We have seen from Titus 1 that we need God our Saviour and his gospel that leads to godliness. Therefore, we need godly male leaders. Leaders who will hold on to the gospel and live it out in their own lives. Leaders who will teach the gospel to others. Leaders who will boldly refute those who oppose the gospel. But what role do the women of the church family have in impacting the community with the gospel? In knowing Jesus better and making Jesus better known? And how can we all get involved in what churches call women's ministry? Well, we see in Titus chapter 2 that the whole church family are to hold on to the gospel and live it out in their own lives, not just the church leaders. But we also see that gospel living will look different for particular groups within God's household, within God's family, the church. So, Paul highlights particular groups. Paul instructs Titus to teach the gospel to older men, to older women, to young men, and to slaves. And it's important just to point out that the modern equivalent today of the slave-master relationship is seen in employees relating to their employers. And so we are going to zoom in now on the older women in verses 3 to 5, verses that show us much about women's ministry. It must be said that this passage is not all the Bible says on women discipling women, but Titus 2 is a good place to start. So, what do we learn about women's ministry here? What do we see? We see that older women must teach younger women. Older women must teach younger women. Look with me at verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Firstly, we see here the vital necessity of women's ministry. For do you notice that there is a group here within the church family that Titus, as a man, is not fully able to teach himself? Titus is not to teach the younger women directly and personally. No doubt he will teach the younger women as he preaches to the churches, but Titus, as a man, cannot model or live out gospel godliness as a woman. Therefore, in verse 3, we see that it is the older women who have a unique, necessary, and incredibly valuable role in teaching and training the younger women. Women's ministry is a must-have for a church family. Before we look at how the older women are to teach and train the younger women, there's an important question that needs answering, though. A question I'm sure you're all wondering about. Who then are the older women? What makes someone an old woman? Or when does one become an old woman? At this point, you might want to say, stop, I don't want to know. I'm as young as I feel, I'm a spring chicken. I've got my oil of Olay anti-aging cream. Old isn't a label for me. Well, I'm not going to stop, I'm afraid. Culture says old is negative. Being old is negative, says culture. But it's clear here from God's word that being an older woman is an admirable and a beautiful ambition for us all to have. In the book of Titus, an older woman would be biologically older in years, and alongside her age, an older woman would be mature in faith and godliness. She would have long experience of living as a Christian woman. Okay, some of us will be thinking, I'm off the hook. That doesn't count for me. But mature faith can be seen in women no matter their age. Moreover, there are always women who are younger in faith than we are. So there is a sense that we can all be old women. And as we look at our church family, there will be times when we will be the older woman in a relationship, and in other relationships where we will be the younger woman. And of course, teaching the gospel to our daughters and the teenager and younger girls in our church family is our privilege and responsibility too. So, even if we are younger now than most women in our church family, let's invest well today in becoming those older women of the future. How then do we as older women teach the younger women? Firstly, by living out the gospel ourselves. By living out the gospel ourselves. Look with me at verse 3. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. As Titus teaches the gospel to the older women are to live out the gospel in their lives, in their observable behaviour. And the big idea here is that the gospel is to produce a reverent self-control. The older women are to be known as those who are reverent in the way they live. Reverence here means a life lived in awe of God as our Saviour and Lord. And it is striking to see which areas older women are to particularly show and model reverent self-control towards God. The first area highlighted is in our speech. We are to model gospel godliness and show self-control in our speech. Verse 3, we are not to be slanderers. Paul focuses on a negative here, on what the women are not to do in their speech. Women are not to slander others. Slander means to speak and tell lies about another person. Lies that will ruin the reputation and character of the other person. There's been a lot of research by scientists and psychologists on how men and women use speech. Right from the early days of childhood up to adulthood, there have been studies on the differences and similarities between male and female speech. Some research has claimed that while men use on average about 7,000 words a day, women use 20,000 words. We must beware unhelpful generalisations, but from our own observations of life, we can see that women are often quite gifted in expressing themselves and using words. It can be a great strength of ours, and is often the way with our strengths. It can also be a great source of sin, too. I wonder, we need to be honest with ourselves here. When was the last time we made a negative comment about another person? Perhaps we've moaned about someone else at church, or a work colleague, or our husband, or a friend. There is a right and healthy place for talking through relational challenges. But the desire to get things off our chest can be a cover for having a good moan. I see this in myself. And it is the moaning and complaining that younger women will notice. But if we keep thinking about God's gospel, our speech will be changed. How might thinking about and applying the gospel change our speech? Well, the gospel shows us that the person we are slandering is loved by God. The gospel shows us too that God has been patient with us and that God has forgiven us all our sin. And so the gospel, applied to our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, will change our speech to become more gracious. And the younger women will notice. We can model gospel godliness in our speech. Alongside speech, the second key area older women are to live out the gospel is in the area of addiction. Verse 3, not to be addicted to much wine. Paul highlights the temptation for the women here to be addicted to wine. Older women are not to be enslaved to much wine, but instead to show self-control and moderation. Wine is an enjoyable drink for many and is part of God's good creation. Jesus himself made wine from water for a wedding feast. But, as with many of God's gifts, wine can be abused. Wine can be where we go for comfort after a stressful day, and a single glass can become more. And before we know it, wine can become our comforter instead of God. For you, wine might not be where you seek comfort or struggle with self-control. For many of us, there are other areas we find addictive. It could be a strong compulsion to use social media. It may be eating too much or eating too little. It may be in areas of sexual purity, which we'll think about a bit later. If there is an area of addiction you are struggling with today, please speak to someone you trust. Speak to a Christian friend. You're not alone. We all struggle with addictions in different ways. We all need God's grace to us in Jesus. And on reading these words in Titus, we might feel that we can't be older women. We see our sin and we feel so inadequate to teach others. This is where the gospel comes in. You see, these older women here in Titus are still learning themselves. Titus is to teach the older women the gospel. The older women are to keep holding on to the gospel for themselves. And those of us who are younger women, we are often so encouraged when older women admit their weaknesses, when older women talk to us about how much they need Jesus, about how much they need God's grace and forgiveness every day. So be reassured, for all of us, as we hold on to the gospel in our own lives, the Holy Spirit will be working in us, and this will bring God great glory. So the first way older women are to teach younger women is by living out the gospel in their own lives. Secondly, older women teach younger women by teaching what is good. Older women are to teach what is good. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, verse 3, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Older women are to teach what is good to younger women. But what is good? What is the good that we must teach women? Well, I decided to put the phrase women teaching women into the Amazon website and see what book titles came up, to see what the titles revealed about what our culture says women need to know. These were some of the titles. You are a goddess, working with the sacred feminine to awaken, heal and transform. Another book title was Fantastically Great Women Who Worked Wonders. There was also this title, Lady Era, the Wonderful Magical Sex Pink Pill, with a subheading, The Leading Sex Pill for Mind-Blowing Sex. And then there were, of course, also several diet books, including one which promises to change your life in just 8 days. I've not read these books. I can't make informed assessments of them. But if we judge a book by its cover, the focus of our culture seems to be on telling women, you need to know that you're amazing. You have all the resources and strength within yourself to live the life you want, to achieve anything, and in particular, to find self-fulfillment, whether that be in sex and relationships, or our body image, or in our careers. Just work hard enough, just juggle everything, but also just take time for you. But such thinking is anti-gospel. It is life centered on us rather than God. And it sounds exhausting, doesn't it? So how are we to know what is good? Well, the way to teach what is truly good is by teaching what God says is good. And in God's word, we see it is the gospel that is good. As we saw in chapter 1, verse 1, it is the gospel truth that leads to godliness. And all through the book of Titus, it is the gospel that is a sound, healthy doctrine that is good. So for us, we find God's gospel in his word, the Bible. The Bible that is all about Jesus. To disciple younger Christian women in the faith, we must keep Jesus central. And not Jesus of our own imagination, but the true historical person of Jesus as he is revealed in God's word. Women's ministry must be a ministry that teaches the Bible, that applies the Bible to our everyday living, not just in how we as older women model gospel living, but in the words we say. We need to be getting the Bible open with other women. Now, we don't have to be experts at teaching the Bible. Just prayerfully open the word and together look at what it's saying. Perhaps begin with a favourite psalm or the life of Jesus in one of the Gospels. We can always say to each other, what have you been reading in God's word lately? Or we can begin with ourselves, perhaps talking about the Sunday sermon, saying something like, I was struck by the sermon on Sunday. It's amazing how Jesus has dealt with all our sin and how we are really forgiven. Older women must teach younger women by living out the gospel and by teaching what is good, by teaching God's word. And as we do so, we will be able to train younger women in godly living. We will be able to train younger women in godly living. Have a look with me at verse 4. Then they can urge younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their own husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Across the groupings in a church family, we model the gospel in different ways. And as Christian women, there are specific ways we can live out the gospel. The list here in Titus is not all that can be said about what it means to live as a Christian woman, but nonetheless, they are important areas of godliness for us. We'll have a look at a few of these areas now, though we don't have time this morning to look at all the list in detail. So, the first specific key area of life older women are to train and urge younger women is in the area of family. Older women are to teach younger women to love their husbands and children. Verse 4. Then they can urge younger women to love their husbands and children. Most women at the time would have been married and with children, and the younger married women needed the older women to help them love their husbands and children. What does it mean to love our husband and our children? Pop songs in the charts will tell us that all you need is love, and love is all around us, and what the world needs now is love, sweet love. But love in these songs is often more about romance than about how you feel about someone. That's why you are said to fall in love or fall out of love. But God, who is love, says in his word that love is something much, much more than our fluctuating human feelings. The word love here in Titus means committed, sacrificial service. It is love that isn't based on the loveliness of the one we love. It's love that is costly. It's his love that we first see in, you guessed it, the gospel, where God has shown his love to us in Jesus. I'm not married myself, but my married friends tell me that marriage, whilst good in many ways, can also be very hard. It is hard to love our husbands and children. So, as older women, we can be a prayerful support and help to younger women in their marriages. We are to come alongside younger women, not as those who have it sorted, but as those who hold on to the gospel. This will mean taking time to build relationships of trust where we can sensitively talk about how the gospel can impact a marriage. So, it may be that a younger woman is frustrated because she feels her husband isn't taking the lead in family life. Gently and lovingly help her see that God's word teaches the beauty of patience and of waiting on the Lord to work in her husband's heart. Being a young mother is an exhausting time of feeling sleep deprived. The monotony of raising young children is very isolating. As older women, we can encourage a young mum that the Lord is always with her and that he sees and delights in all she's doing for her children. And we can encourage her in the great ministry she has of teaching the gospel to her children. Building these relationships will need us all to take the initiative, whether we are older or younger women. Another area older women are to train the younger women in is sexual purity. Verse 5. To be self-controlled and pure. What do we think of when we think of the word pure? In our culture, pure is used to describe healthy drinks or food. Pure is something clean, positive, wholesome. I used to be a member of Pure Gym. It claimed to be a gym that offered simple, no fuss exercise, though I wouldn't really know as I didn't often go. When thinking about sexual purity, our culture is so mixed up. Sexual ethics is decided by the individual. Purity is being true to yourself. Any kind of authority on sexual expression is seen as restrictive. And the biblical view of sex being only between one man and one woman in the context of lifelong marriage is seen as dangerous. Therefore, we need each other to see how good God's word is to us, how God's good design for marriage is clearly taught in Scripture as one man and one woman together in exclusive lifelong union, and how living out the gospel in our sexuality is not restrictive, but beautiful. So, as older women, let us lovingly and sensitively talk to younger women about how we all battle with sexual purity. We can encourage married women to love their husbands in the bedroom. We can encourage single women that chastity is beautiful and an authentically human way to live. We can help each other in the battle with lust, pornography, erotic literature, and masturbation. And if we are tempted to date women, non-Christian men, or married men, we can warn each other of the danger of falling away and of disobeying God. These are hard areas for us, aren't they? So this will mean asking hard questions. And it will mean that we as younger women need to be open to listening and learning and asking for help. We can do so because the gracious gospel of Jesus is applied to our sexuality too. We are all sexual sinners who find forgiveness at the cross together. The third area we are going to look at in detail is the area of work. Older women are to urge younger women, verse 5, to be busy at home. To be busy at home. What does this phrase mean? The ESV Bible that we use in Sunday services translates this phrase as working at home. It is very important to understand that at the time of Titus, the workplace was not a separate place to the place where you lived, to the home. Most people did not go out to work like they would do today in our post-industrial society. So working at home means to get on with your work, whatever it is. It means to not be lazy. And laziness is something that the Cretans particularly struggled with in their culture. So look back with me at chapter 1, verse 12, which describes and epitomises Cretan culture. One of Crete's own prophets has said it. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. So, older women are to teach younger women to work hard in the responsibilities that they have. In our different circumstances, our responsibilities will be varied. Some of us spend much of our week in paid employment. Some of us have husbands and children. Many of us have responsibilities with wider family, elderly parents or grandchildren, nieces or nephews. We are also, many of us, involved in serving the church family, being part of a small group or serving in the ark perhaps. We also have homes to maintain, plates to wash, finances to manage, gardens to weed. Wow, the list can be quite overwhelming, can't it? But isn't it encouraging to think that we can live out the gospel by faithfully getting on with our ordinary lives, by working hard in the responsibilities that God has graciously given us? I wonder, though, perhaps our challenge is different to the Cretans. The Cretans, as we have seen, were prone to laziness and putting off jobs. It's my observation that we seem to have fallen into the other extreme, that of trying to do everything and to do everything perfectly. We are often so burdened and worn out by unrealistic expectations of others, of ourselves, and perhaps even expectations that we think God has of us. Together, as women in the church family, we can remind each other that God looks on us with compassion and grace, that God is sovereign and in control, so we can trust him with all that is going on in our lives. And we can help each other make difficult decisions on what to prioritise, what to say yes to, and what to say no to. And we can help each other to be making decisions that, if we are married, best enable us to prioritise loving our husbands and children, and to enable all of us, married or single, to prioritise knowing Jesus better and making Jesus better known. Older women must teach younger women by living out the gospel, by teaching what is good. Then they can train younger women in godly living. So, what will this look like at St. John's? How can we go about building relationships where we speak into each other's lives? In a large church as ours, small groups are key, whether it be women's Bible study groups or home groups or Bereans. Why not think about the women in your small group and think about how you can get to know them more and do life with them more? Sunday mornings over coffee after the service can be an opportunity to chat. We can also think about how we can do normal life together. Perhaps go to the park together with the children or invite a family around for lunch on a Sunday. I recently went around for a 5 p.m. weekday dinner with a family from church with young children and just so enjoyed being part of normal life and routine. Another way to get to know other women in the church family is to serve alongside them, to serve on tea and coffee together, or in the choir, or in the mini-arc, or arc, or youth groups, or Global Cafe, or Mummy and Me, or by building together relationships with non-Christian friends in the community. There are many ways to serve God together. One of the challenges, though, is getting to know women who are in different life seasons and ages to us. We really want to, but find it hard. So it can be good to connect with women together through what I would call one-to-ones. This is where an older woman meets up with a younger woman, perhaps once every 3 or 4 weeks, and they read the Bible together and pray together. These intentional relationships take time to grow, but can be so rewarding for both women. And then after they have met for a year or so, they may both feel that they can meet up to read the Bible with other women. And so the number of one-to-ones in a church family grows and multiplies. Do speak to me if you'd like to find out more about one-to-ones. We thought a lot about the who, the what, and the how of women's ministry. But we must never forget the why. Why is women teaching women so vital to the local church? Well, it's so that God's word is not maligned. It's so that God's word is not maligned. Look with me at the end of verse 5. So that no one will malign the word of God. The gospel leads to godliness. So, if as Christian women we are not teaching and applying the gospel to each other, we won't be living out our faith. Instead, the watching world will see ungodliness, and such ungodliness in us will mean that those around us will be turned off from God's word. We know this to be true when we see senior Christian figures in the media who are found guilty of terrible crimes. But we also know it to be true when we meet non-Christians who have been hurt in the past by the behaviour of Christians that they have known. Such stories bring us great sorrow. Women's ministry, though, has great potential to witness for the gospel and make Jesus better known. In fact, the godliness of all the groups Titus addresses has great potential to impact the local community with the gospel, to make, verse 10, the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. Think about how you came to faith in Christ. For many of us, what initially attracted us to explore the claims of Jesus was actually the distinctiveness of Christian friends that we knew, particularly as we heard of and saw their experience of church family. The local community looks at the behaviour and lives of a local church, and in a culture familiar with isolation, with brokenness, with malice, envy, and rivalry, a godly church community is so attractive. And so our women's ministry is a key part of our witness to make Jesus better known. Right now, we may be feeling very inadequate for this responsibility. This is why we must keep God our Saviour's gospel central. We must never lose sight of the gospel. Let us remember that women's ministry is only possible because God's grace teaches us. Because God's grace teaches us. Have a look with me at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age where we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Such a rich and full paragraph is beyond our time today, but we are back where we started this morning, with God our Saviour's gospel. It is the gospel that is centred on the death, resurrection, ascension, and return of Jesus Christ. It is God's gracious gospel that teaches us to say no to sin and yes to godliness, because we are already a people belonging to Jesus. If we are to come away this morning with one truth to hold on to, it would be this. To be a healthy and fruitful church, we need God our Saviour's gospel. So give thanks for and hold on to the gospel. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus came to die on the cross to save us, to make us his people who are eager to do what is good. Thank you that your gospel teaches us to say no to sin and yes to godliness. Thank you that we really can, by your Holy Spirit, live out the gospel in our lives as Christian women. Please help us to apply the gospel to our own hearts. And please help us to get alongside each other as Christian women. Help us to speak and teach the gospel to each other as Christian women. And we pray that as we do so, the women's ministry here would bring great blessing to the whole church family. And so we long too, dear Father, that we would, by your grace, impact our local community with the gospel. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.